And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Benched with Bubba, episode 724. Continuing our team-by-team previews to get you ready for the 2025 fantasy baseball season. We head to the Pacific Northwest to the Seattle Mariners, a team that's loaded with pitching, even though there's been rumors of pitching trades on the table from time to time. They got one of the best young hitters in baseball and a few other gems that we can talk about for fantasy in order to help me break this all down as a fantasy machine. If it's football season, it's baseball season, it's both. He's always writing something. He's also a machine because he works out like crazy, lifting, putting all kinds of videos on the old the Twitter there, which is always fun. You can find him at Rotoballer, Baseball HQ, RotoViz. He's a two-time FSWA award winner. I got reminded that earlier on a show with Ryan Bloomfield that I was the only one on the screen with that one. We stay that way today. And you can find him on Twitter at Corbin_Young21. Corbin Young. How are we doing, my friend?
I'm good. Yeah. I don't think I really said anything after rhyming that comment. I'm not good with praise. I just kind of like to, you know, put the head in the ground and the grind and just keep on going. So appreciate that.
It's a heck of an honor, man. It really is. Like, it's good to see good people get rewarded for busting their butt, basically, because you do. So that's good to see those kind of torches get passed around, is the way I look at it. All right. Before we get going, player analysis time, just a general question I ask every guest. What were your thoughts on how the 2024 season went for the Seattle Mariners?
Yeah, I mean, it was always about could they hit enough, right? You know, the pitching was great. The pitching pretty much lived up to expectations. You know, there was one guy missing here and there, but for the most part, they kind of stay pretty steady. Bullpen took a hit with Matt Brash, you know, his injury. But, I mean, you know, I didn't look at what it was looked like before. But, you know, for a team that had so many just losing seasons and underwhelming, you know, seasons for multiple years, you know, to make the playoffs that one year and playing the smoke against the Astros, like, you know, just these kind of things, like, you know, I know it probably doesn't mean much when we don't go that far, but it's there's some positive things. I mean, you know, I it's hard to have a team that sustains pitching only throughout that entire year without hitting, besides Cal Raleigh and, you know, Julio Rodriguez being hurt. So it's, you know, one of those things where even if they bring in a bat or two, you know, there's always a little bit of some skepticism about the ballpark and all that stuff. But I, you know, a winning season, you know, maybe I'm just steady, but you know, I'm happy with that and make some slow gains, you know.
Yeah, and the thing is, when it comes to the Mariners, they're like, they're so close to probably having everything you want to be a successful team, but like you mentioned, and we'll talk throughout this, still a couple holes that need to probably get addressed at some point in time. Let's start it off with J-Rod. Julio Rodriguez, you mentioned him, an injury-riddled 2024, but still led to his third consecutive 2020 season. He had a 30-30 season in 2023, but even when things weren't great, he still hit .273 with 20 home runs and 24 steals in 143 games. And in years past, like going into this past season, you had to take him at like the third or fourth pick in drafts, Corbin. Right now, J-Rod's got an ADP closer to 14 in the month of January. So how are we feeling about a bounce-back J-Rod season?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, if I kind of looked back, you know, and I kind of do this research anytime I'm doing some individual player stuff and there's a down season, it's like he had a left hand injury in spring training, quad injury in July, you know, ankle injury in late July that caused him to kind of nearly miss a month, right? So if we think about that, like left hand, quad, you know, ankle injury, like all the things that are going to impact power and speed and just the ability to hit the ball, play defense, all that stuff. Yeah, I mean, I think, unsurprisingly, we've got, you know, some decline in some of the power output and some of the metrics don't look as great. You know, and, you know, one of the things I kind of noticed is that he didn't pull the ball as much last year. And, you know, maybe that could be just outlier or nothing. It was just only 5 or 6 percentage points. But yeah, I think there's definitely a bounce back. You know, I think, you know, probable outcome is 25 to 28 home runs, you know, 25 stolen bases, 150s, 160 runs plus RBI, you know, 260, 270 batting average. I mean, maybe, like you're saying, maybe that's not top five pick worthy, but taking a little bit of a discount, I think that's kind of an outcome where, you know, what we would take at the back end of the first round, especially as some of those kind of five category players kind of tend to dry up, you know, as we get, you know, out of the first round or so.
Yes, I definitely took him at pick 11 in my recent draft. And you mentioned the injuries. I think I obviously got a major factor, and even with the injuries, put together a very solid season. So I will definitely get back in on the J-Rod train. You also mentioned Cal Raleigh, and this guy is something else. 34 home runs this past year with 100 RBIs, 30 home runs, 27 home runs the previous two seasons. Hit 220. That's always the bugaboo with Cal Raleigh, is the batting average. Can he, you know, not crush us in batting average, because the power is ridiculous at the catcher's position. And right now he's got an ADP of 85, 86. You have to really go after him if you want that pop from the catcher's spot. How are we feeling on a guy like Cal Raleigh and that profile he brings to the fantasy table?
Yeah, and I think a comment I kind of made towards the end of last season was like, you know, when a team has a catcher leading their team in home runs and RBI, you know, that could be a good or bad thing, right? Like, or it makes us wonder about the rest of the lineup. Not to say there's other catchers like that. Like, we put other catchers like that in that category, like Salvador Perez and all those guys that, you know, in the past. But, you know, it kind of makes us wonder about the rest of the lineup. But, yeah, can't complain about the lead power. The volume's going to be there, right? Just good defense. They don't platoon him. They don't mess around with that. He gets kind of nicked up here and there, but that's just because he's playing so much. There's always going to be a pretty brutal batting average floor, just kind of with his kind of heavy fly ball approach. It just never going to lean itself to, you know, a good batting average, even if some of the XBA numbers kind of maybe hint at a little more. I think the volume should be there, and it's kind of, we know what to expect, you know, as your catcher one there. I mean, and can't complain, I think, and just kind of building around that. Hopefully you're not, you know, taking the Cal Raleigh and Shea Langeliers or something like that. Then you're really, you know, you might be bottom batting average. But I think can't complain with kind of that.
Yeah, if you go like a Raw
23, you know.
Yeah, you got like a Raleigh and like a Caber Ruiz or something. Like, that's a nice 1-2 punch for sure. Yeah, don't go with Cal Raleigh and then the discounted Cal Raleigh. Like, you don't want both of them on the same team for sure. Victor Robles, this was quite the rejuvenation story, I guess, in 2024. Once highly, highly touted prospect, never got it going with the Nationals, gets let go. The Mariners pick him up on a whim, basically, and he finishes with 34 steals, hit over 300, let off most of his time, at least to finish the year leading off for the Mariners. I just don't know what to do with them for this year. Like, it was great to see. Can he sustain it? Million questions with him. ADP's 190. What are you seeing when you look at a guy like Victor Robles?
Yeah, I was looking back because, you know, where I was like, oh, waiting on that 2019 season happening again. But it's the first season he's earned positive, like, you know, earned value since 2019, right? So that kind of just tells us that he's been just struggling. He had a career high in stolen bases, and the Mariners kind of ran a lot. He had a 48% stolen base opportunity kind of rate per Baseball HQ. You know, for context, Robles average stolen base opportunity rate of 28%, right? So we've got a 20 percentage point difference there. He had one of the better contact rates last year, better kind of expected power indexes, which is the Baseball HQ kind of power metric, which, you know, can tell us that there's some, you know, maybe average to below average power, but it's a little better than terrible, I guess, right? If that gives us any optimism. But we're not really looking at him for the power anyway. But I mean, if he can maintain some, you know, slightly above average play discipline, get on base, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we see something similar to what we had last year. Even if it means it's stretched out over a full season, like, I wouldn't expect him to have a stolen base, you know, opportunity rate of nearly 50%. That seems a little ridiculous, but, you know, something around 30-35%, you know, we've seen hitters do that. I can't recall what the defense metrics are, but, you know, he was pretty good in defense, you know, before. Right now he's more of a corner outfielder. You know, I have this comp in my notes of, like, maybe we get like a Stephen Kwan-esque kind of profile. You know, maybe lower batting average with about a 50 pick difference. You know, again, lower batting average, you know, Robles is never hitting for like 300 or batting title or anything like that, but, you know, kind of that profile. So
Yeah, at the discount, that could be interesting because, yeah, if Robles could ever tap into that 10 to 12 home runs, upside, that'd be tremendous. Obviously, the ballpark might hamper those things, but if he offsets it with 30 plus stolen bases, we can kind of live with that, all things considered. Randy Arozarena traded to the Mariners midseason from Tampa Bay. Really rough season for Randy. Hit 219 compared to his usual 250, 260, whatever. But fourth straight season going 2020, even with the bad batting average, continued to hit for power, hit for speed. It did decline quite a bit once he went to Seattle. That was a big decline. But when you're digging in on Randy Arozarena, we have an ADP of 135 right now. Are we willing to buy back in on this talent that is a 2020 machine, or are there some serious concerns from what you saw when you joined the Mariners?
Yeah, he definitely bounced back with the Mariners, but that's not really saying much. And a lot of times when we look at kind of better outcomes or better results, I think we have to kind of just see if the skills kind of align. The skills were pretty much the same kind of in the first half, second half. So, that kind of tells us it was kind of just some regression with some of the luck factors. I think the concern might be that his expected batting average was always below his actual batting average kind of, through those peak seasons in 2021 to 2023. So, I think, and it's mostly because he, struggles to make contact, but he's got some decent power metrics, right, or kind of average-ish. I think the 2020 season is definitely, a potential again, just kind of based on, I know it's early, but just kind of based on the lineup context of the Mariners, right? I don't really see any kind of prospects pushing up to make that lineup in the outfield, unless they make some drastic signings or moves. He's going to be locked into pretty much everyday playing time, which, he might have, and so I think there's probably more concerns around the batting average, but I think there's definitely a bounce back season and a slightly discounted price from what he's been at before.
Yeah, I'm with you. I was talking with someone recently about Randy, and I've always been a big Randy believer. That's been one of my guys for years. But if you could still put that kind of production up with the struggling batting average and just plate skills at the time, I'll be willing to buy back in because it wasn't like crazy, crazy drop-offs. So I'm with you on that as well. Luke Raley, strong side platoon most likely at first base. Maybe he gets more run. We'll see. He can play the outfield as well. He's got that first base outfit eligibility. And, 22 home runs, 11 steals last year. We saw 19 home runs, 14 steals the year before. Hits you around 240. ADP is like 300. So he's not costing you much at all. He's an in-game pick. What are your thoughts on Luke Raley, who they brought back this year?
Yeah, I pretty much, like you said, pretty much replicated the 2023 kind of breakout season. The powers, we know is there, right? It's always been above average, kind of your typical power hitter, shrugs to make contact. One kind of minor note is the stolen base opportunities kind of fell about 8 percentage points from 2023 to 2024. So he's running slightly less, but he still reached double digit stolen bases. So maybe, with kind of similar volume, we're okay there. Again, I think, we know he's a strong side platoon. And so I think, I don't want to poke too much holes in the kind of small samples, but I think the one note I have in my notes is the downside scenario would be against right-handed hitters, right? It's a strong side platoon. If they throw him fewer fastballs, so they're throwing more breaking balls and off-speed pitches, I think that's where we kind of see if there's some concern. Basically, against breaking pitches and off-speed pitches against right-handed pitchers, he has a wOBA under 300, right? So he just kind of crushes fastballs. So I think that's something to monitor. Most times it might not fluctuate that much, but that'd be something to kind of keep tabs on. But again, like you're saying, price wise, 300, there's a lot of platoon bats in that range of the draft anyway. So if you're looking for some power in that section, you'll just have to keep tabs on kind of the weekly lineup and see, who they're facing and stuff like that.
That's some good catches on the stolen base situation and the off speed pitches. That's stuff that I haven't heard talk about much. So that's very, very interesting stuff there. It makes sense why, besides the handedness, you might be in a platoon. All right, J.P. Crawford, we know he's got a pretty legit glove that keeps him out there. A couple years ago, 19 home runs because he went hashtag went to driveline. Last year was hurt, really down season, but we're already seeing hashtags going back to driveline this offseason. ADP is 427 for the starting shortstop for the Seattle Mariners. How are we feeling on this? Because will the production be enough, I guess, to make it worth it?
Yeah, that was pretty surprising when I looked at that, 400, past 400 ADP. Again, one of those, he was just a volume monster, right? He had 600 plate appearances in three straight seasons. He had oblique finger injuries causing him missed time last year. Again, I think we talked about this last year and other times, like speculating on whether Crawford's, 2023 output was a fluke. I think the injuries didn't really help kind of with that narrative there. He pulled the ball more in 2023, so that's something to keep tabs on if that happens again. I think roster resource has him kind of batting at the bottom third of the Mariners lineup. I would guess he probably moves up to kind of leadoff spot where he had been for quite a while, mostly because I just trust those on base skills of Crawford a little bit more than I think the roster might have had like Victor Robles or something, leading off, which theoretically could happen, but I think Crawford's got better on base skills and defense is gonna kind of give him some playing time. All you're really banking on is kind of batting average, runs, maybe double digit power and some steals. So I think he's a potential value, kind of, but he'll obviously need the kind of volume to earn that back. So
Yeah, he's interesting, especially if like you're in those 50 round drafting holds. I think he's a great, third shortstop to see where it goes. And in your deeper formats, he might not get drafted, so keep an eye on him because if he does bounce back at all, there's going to be some viability there too. So yeah, I was also I know that it was a rough year last year, but 427 seemed like a bit
Right.
harsh, all things considered.
Yeah.
All right, Mitch Haniger, another guy that once there was a lot of praise and potential with. He's getting older. He's going to be 34 this year, but it's just been falling off. Injuries have just derailed any potential success for Mitch Haniger. And, right now he's supposed to be the DH. There's also Mitch Garver and other guys there. Haniger's ADP, though, is 672. So it's like, if we believe there's life in this bat still, that's pretty last round type pick stuff. So what are your thoughts on Mitch Haniger? Should we just not worry about him and let him go, or is there something to be optimistic about?
I mean, I'm I don't think I don't know if there's much kind of juice coming back. Definitely been pretty concerning. So I would say he's probably in a void. I mean, some of the data looks okay, but it's small sample, and I just don't know if we have that. In terms of comeback, he's got some career lows in contact rate and stuff like that, so I'm a little concerned. Yeah, there's another guy, kind of their utility person that we talk about a little bit that I kind of like a little more. But
All right, who you got? Because it's I didn't put Donovan Solano or Ryan Bl or Dylan Moore on the list. There's Ryan Bliss and others. Who's the utility guy you're interested in?
I'm mostly interested in Dylan Moore,
Okay.
and mostly just because again, I think when you're a Mariners fan, sometimes you just don't want to watch your offense, so you just like turn it off late in the game or like all that. I think I didn't realize that he had 32 stolen bases, so he had a career high there. He's always been kind of this part-time utility player, never had a full-time role. I think they didn't bring Jorge Polanco back, kind of possibly opening a path to second base, and he plays all over the infield. He's going to kill your batting average, but it's currently kind of baked into the ADP. He's kind of one of those weird, like, patient hitters that don't quite make a lot of contact, but he pulls the ball a ton, hits the ball in the air a lot. I think there's just some potentially kind of sneaky power and speed in that profile. It's kind of as that whatever quadruple eligibility type
Yeah, he's all
player.
over the place. He's got second, third, short, outfield. ADP is 358, so he's not costing you much or anything. And you mentioned the steals. He benefited from Crawford missing so much time. He got that playing time. So I was surprised when I saw Roster Resource has him right now at second base. Obviously, Ryan Bliss might fight for the position. Maybe a lot of other things. Maybe they go sign some. Polanco still is out there. So anything can happen when all things are said and done. But I agree that he's a little more enticing this year than most years when he's just strictly off the bench type guy. There might be a role, like you said, which the ADP could be something.
I think there's just enough holes in the starting lineup that could be move around.
This is fair. This is very fair. All right, let's head to the starting rotation here, who is one of the better, if not the best, overall rotations in baseball. If you just go literally from one to five, these are all pretty bona fide studs. Some might be kind of fading a little bit. Some might not even have found their stride yet. We'll start with the veteran of the staff, and that's Luis Castillo. Luis Castillo last year still racked up the innings, but we saw the strikeouts drop. The ratios were still okay. He, like I said, veteran. He's going to be 32, so he's getting older. But with Castillo, his ADP is 92. So he's not like a premium. Still, you got to pay for him, but not a premium. How are you feeling about Castillo? Because we did see something start to deteriorate last year.
Yeah, I wrote about Luis Castillo in my first Facts and Flukes article at Baseball HQ. Yeah, and all those things you notice. Some of the strikeout skills, like the swing and strike rate, kind of fell down about a percentage or so. You know, the four-seamer had been pretty good for him in 2022 and 2023, kind of 15-16% swing and strike rate. That fell to below 12%. Same thing with the changeup. Changeup falling a little bit, and swing and strike rate about 2 percentage points. So, yeah, kind of some concerning signs there. I think the kind of biggest concern would be kind of what his attack is against kind of left-handed hitters. So just kind of keeping tabs on that. I think there's some decline in pretty much all the pitches in 2024 against lefties. So that's something, again, I don't think that's like, you know, actionable, but just kind of something I noticed. I think we've got a discounted ADP. I think that's a fair price, is, you know, kind of maybe, you know, where we're at in the draft, maybe taking an SP2. I don't think we're going to get kind of our, you know, elite ace kind of level of Luis Castillo, but the volume's probably there. I think theoretically some of the fewer whiffs and some of the attack plans against lefties, in my opinion, I think they're kind of fixable and things that they can look at. So I wouldn't be kind of panicking with that discounted price.
All right, good to know. Yeah, because in my drafts, I just don't really know what to do with Luis Castillo because it was kind of a weird year last year. So good to hear those points, and I will definitely go check out the Facts and Flukes article that just dropped recently. So that'll be fun to check out as well. The new ace kind of the staff, it seems like he's taking that mantle for now, is one Logan Gilbert. Logan Gilbert, 208 and two-thirds innings last year, third straight season of basically 186 innings or more. Strikeouts were good. Ratios were good, but now you got to pay ADP of 25. He's like the fourth starting pitcher off the board right now. He's moved all the way up into that kind of rarefied air. How are we feeling about Logan Gilbert entering the 2025 season?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely like him a lot. He's someone that I've loved for quite a while. I would probably argue he might be one of the kind of safer starting pitchers in that range, you know, maybe besides Zach Wheeler, but he's obviously younger than Zach Wheeler. Yeah, I mean, pretty much all the metrics supported the better season, right? Better swing and strike rate, slider kind of, you know, was pretty nasty, jumping to 20% swing and strike rate after being about 16%. So one of the ways that it pretty much got a little bit better is it dropped a little bit more. I threw it, you know, less often in the zone. It was kind of eliciting kind of more chase and whiffs. So Gilbert kind of being in that, you know, top five pitcher off the board, I mean, I think that's fair. And I think it's worth paying up, you know, if you're willing to go SP1 early, and just kind of the volume's there, the skills are there. I don't know how you could complain with that.
Yeah, no, he's basically done it time and time again. Like the one joke I always make is, there was that post always going around that, hey, these 10 guys were the highest velocity pitchers, and like all 10 of them had Tommy John surgery or some kind of arm injury. Well, the next 10 from this past year, Gilbert's on that list. That's always the one. It's like there's other guys, the Hunter Greens of the world, you kind of expect all of them, but then there's Gilbert, who's just been a consistent guy every single year. Like you mentioned, you're like, he kind of stands out as different on the list, if that makes sense.
And yeah.
Yeah. No, so it's kind of surprising he's on the list.
Yeah. I can't remember if it was last year or the year before. There was this article in the Seattle Times talking about kind of like the kind of workouts and the exercises he does. And he brings this like bag of all this equipment, and he's like, you know, all these bands and these balls and doing all these things and kind of prepping his arm and being ready. So it's kind of cool. It's kind of a, you know, fitness nerd of looking at some of this stuff, but yeah, it's definitely a guy that kind of puts in the work to, you know, stay healthy and be on track, I think.
No, I like it a lot. George Kirby, you know, last year when we talked, Kirby and Gilbert pretty much going neck and neck in drafts. And you had to make that choice. Did you want the maybe upside of a Gilbert, or did you want this guy Kirby that is just a ratio darling? Well, Kirby backed up 190 and two-thirds innings with 191 innings. Got one more out this past year. Strikeouts, ratios, a lot of it was very similar. Maybe took a slight step back, but you're like literally grasping at straws there. And when you look at Kirby, though, compared to Gilbert having that 25 ADP, Kirby's is more like 44. So if you still like Kirby, you can wait. Or heck, you might be able to get both now. That was like one of the jokes when we talked last year. What do you want to do in drafts? I want all the Mariners pitchers. How are you feeling on George Kirby entering this year? As he basically, he's turned into kind of just a boring guy that's really, really good.
Yeah, I think that's right on. Like, I mean, he doesn't have kind of the high-end strikeout skills like Logan Gilbert does, but he's got kind of that elite control, elite ball rate. Swinging strike rate's pretty decent. It was a career high last year. He's just one of those, like, command pitchers. I think there's one of those games where he just threw tons and tons of fastballs. Like, he just, you know, the pitches don't have, like, his four-seamer. An example would be his four-seamer doesn't have a ton of a kind of induced vertical break, but he just commands that heater kind of up in the zone. I think, again, the kind of interesting notes would be that against lefties, started using kind of the four-seamer less often, and the slider's been real good, just kind of elite levels of downward movement. So I wouldn't see a surprise. I wouldn't be surprised if we kind of saw more whiffs come from the slider in 2025. Similarly, when we talked about like Bryce Miller kind of adding that splitter off-speed pitch to kind of pair, like that could be one thing to take a step forward. But yeah, no, I'm with it. Just kind of safety, you know, the volume of the, you know, just all the ratios and strikeouts will be there. He's, you know, because he has an elite command and the control, like should be one of those guys that kind of stabilizes your whip as kind of your SP1 if you wait to that point.
Yeah, for sure. Like you might not be the elite strikeout guys that you're looking for with others, but you can always pair some people later on or before and try to up those if you can. But you mentioned when he's throwing that many innings with ratios like that, it just ups everything else and gives you a big buffer, because the later you go on drafts, most of those pitchers go 150, 160 innings. So those extra 30 innings to 35 innings of elite ratios adds up in a big, big way. Brian Wu. A guy that I thought was having Tommy John twice last year, it felt like. Never did. Kept going through 22 starts, 121 innings. Great ratios. Strikeouts are less than we desired, but I still don't know how healthy his arm is. Like, he keeps pitching, so I should think it's healthy, but he scared us at least twice, if not more, last year, Corbin. ADP is 136. Are you willing to pay the price for that with those concerns from last year?
Yeah, started the season on the injury list with a forearm inflammation, had elbow and forearm injuries, you know, throughout the year, like you're saying, and, you know, a couple times where you're like, it's going to be season ending, it'll be out. He kept coming back. So I'll go with the caveat that let's say he is healthy. I think he's going to be one of these pitchers that are going to outperform their xERA. He's just going to be one of those guys that are, you know, the outcomes are a little bit better than some of the metrics say. And it's kind of similar to George Kirby, where the control rate is just elite, like under the ball rate under 30%. Swing trick is okay. You know, I like the arsenal. I think the concerns last year were, you know, could he have an attack against left-handed hitters kind of thing? And he was okay. You know, it wasn't mostly just kind of forcing him to improve kind of thing. But I think he's a guy that if healthy, he'll be okay. But I think he'd be, just kind of based on the health alone, I'd probably kind of put him more on the fade list, because I'd be worried that, you know, if it's not, you know, before the season starts, I don't think the elbow forearm issue just kind of disappear, like you're saying. So I'd be careful, you know, with an additional jump in workload.
Yeah, that's where I'm at. Like when I heard the rumor that it was like Tristan Casas for Brian Wu and the Mariners said no, I was like, why? Like I would, like, they must really have confidence in that arm, and I'm terrified for it. But hopefully they know more than we do. Bryce Miller rounds out this Fab Five in this rotation. 180 innings last year. Remember this time last year we were talking about he's developing a splitter. Seemed to do pretty well. Great ratios. And it's earned him an ADP of 81 entering the season. What are we thinking about Bryce Miller?
Yeah, Bryce Miller was definitely a target for me last year. And so, again, kind of one of those guys where obviously when we're having a kind of breakout or successful season, you know, it's maybe slightly concerning that the xERA is about a one run higher than his actual ERA. You know, that doesn't mean obviously regression. It just means that there were some contributing factors, some luck in there. But, you know, usually there's a mixture of luck and skill with some of the, you know, successful outcomes. But yeah, the splitter was great. Kind of helped neutralize left-handed hitters. You know, along the 205 WOBA, it led his arsenal, his swinging strike rate over 15%, tons of downward movement. Yeah, again, I think it's one of those where it's kind of been that effective offering because his four seamer has kind of those elite levels of induced vertical break. And basically, you know, the next level, again, not that, you know, all this kind of development's linear, but I think the next development will kind of see if any of the breaking pitches develop because that could unlock kind of just another level. Again, I think we're paying up for the success. I think it's probably reasonable to expect something between rookie season and year two, kind of based on what the metrics say and the outcomes. And yeah, this is another rotation, like you're saying. I think I'm going back to the wall. I would be investing in pretty much everybody at their price except maybe Brian Wu.
So I'm guessing you probably have Gilbert and Kirby as number one and number two in the rotation. Do you have Miller ahead of Castillo?
In terms of like real life, I'd probably say Castillo's got the jump over Miller, just kind of based on being a veteran. But in terms of who I'm targeting, I think there's more of a kind of positive range of outcomes or kind of more upside, I guess you could say, for Bryce Miller than there might be for Castillo. But sometimes boring is better and you might just land with Castillo and be okay.
Sounds good. All right, let's head to the bullpen here. Andrés Muñoz still seems to be the dude in the back of that bullpen, even though there's times when we were thinking Matt Brash and others, and not too long ago, Prelander Baroa was an option back there and some other guys. But Muñoz seems to have a stable hold on this one. ADP of 63 right now. Are we all in on Muñoz, or is there still concerns about maybe someone else grabbing some saves?
Yeah, I was kind of looking back last year when we did this pod on my notes. There was like, you know, at least two relievers with kind of 5 or more, 10 or more saves in 2022 and 2023. Last year, the only reliever that the Mariners had with double-digit saves was Andrés Muñoz. So I think it's definitely, you know, Matt Brash is expected to maybe come back. Or there's some optimistic notes about maybe late April, but again, if we delay that time frame, I mean, I don't see a ton of other relievers in their bullpen that's gonna, you know, kind of steal some save opportunities, you know, unless something drastic happened to Muñoz. So I think it's kind of one of those guys where yeah, definitely we're gonna want a piece of that, and he's got the elite strikeout skills, all the closer stuff we want. So, you know, unless they add somebody else that, you know, kind of muddies that a little, you know, I'm looking at their bullpen and it's got a mixture of guys that, you know, could maybe be in closer conversation with other teams, but mostly just kind of, you know, mid, late inning kind of guys, in my opinion.
Yep. I agree with you like that. It's like the first year, like you mentioned, I don't see a lot of guys really trying to take the job from him so much, which is good to see for fantasy purposes, at least. All right, prospects, what do we have to look forward to with the Mariners? Is there anybody close that feels like we might see have an impact or some impact in 2025?
Yeah, we talked a little bit about Ryan Bliss, tons of speed, right? So, again, 50 stolen base in AAA, you know, talked about maybe he sinks into that kind of second base kind of infield role. Again, small sample, but his stolen base opportunity rate in the 71 plate appearance sample was 61% for the Mariners. So just ridiculous. You know, could be kind of that cheap source of speed in maybe like draft Champions League where maybe you're just looking to, you got some plate appearances. And, you know, maybe they bring back Jorge Polanco. But if I'm looking at Jorge Polanco, Donovan Solano, Dylan Moore, like, I mean, Ryan Bliss has to eventually break in there at some point, I would think, unless they're really just kind of looking at kind of platoon him there. But yeah, just kind of that cheap source of speed. Like if Dylan Moore misses time, I could see Bliss kind of earning more playing time, maybe moving around the infield, things like that. But I think he only played at second base besides DH last year. So could be kind of limited defensively, positional wise. So,
okay. Anybody else, or is that the end of the list when it comes to prospects in
Seattle? Yeah, I mean, again, it's kind of deep stuff, right? Like, I think the other guy to keep tabs on would be Tyler Locklear. He's got some pretty juicy kind of power metrics. I was kind of scanning through. Chris Clark's got this nice, like, minor league kind of batted ball data leaderboard, and I was kind of peeking through some of that. 95 mile per hour average exit velocity and fly balls and line drives. 90th percentile EV has a 107 mile per hour. That's really only like 1 or 2 miles per hour behind guys like John Kenzie Noel, Matt Wallner, James Wood, our boy Junior Caminero. Again, we're kind of dreaming there. It's probably a long shot for some playing time. It's kind of a first base there, but just somebody to keep tabs on, kind of since he already kind of debuted at the major league level.
Yeah, I remember writing him up in a playing time tomorrow last year, late in the year, thinking with when they got rid of Ty France, I'm like, maybe it's Locklear's time, and it just didn't come to fruition, unfortunately. I know there's another guy I've written up before is Harry Ford, I think he's still another year away or so, it feels like, from what I've read and seen there. One pitcher I want to ask you about, just because the hype train was real a couple years ago, but he's pitched to so much contact whenever he gets a chance, is Emerson Hancock. He feels like he'd be one of the first options if something were to happen to someone in the rotation. What do you, just from watching him and kind of following that path?
Yeah, I think I was hoping Hancock would be kind of a little more kind of on that path that kind of George Kirby and these kind of control-based pitchers went on. But unfortunately, the skills look pretty awful. Like, there's just not a whole lot of control, not a whole lot of swing and miss and from Hancock. But, I mean, he's probably kind of the next man up if Brian Woo misses time. The kind of wild card pitcher that I would kind of keep tabs on would be Logan Evans. He's a 6'4", kind of well-built pitcher for the Mariners. They kind of move him up the ladder pretty quickly. He was in Double-A last year in 2024 after only throwing 15 innings in complex and Single-A. Get some ground balls. Control and command is going to be an issue probably, but prospect reports have this kind of 70-grade slider. Which probably is kind of more in our reliever. He's probably not in our pre-lander Burrow bucket, but he might be a little more impactful than that. Kind of the way I'm looking at it is I'd be kind of trusting the Mariners to develop their pitchers. Wouldn't be surprised if he took a step forward, especially since they kind of fast-tracked him to Double-A. He's not on the 40-man roster, so Logan Evans is not on the 40-man roster, so they need to make a move, but just kind of a name to keep tabs on there.
All righty. We will definitely do that. Last question I have for you. What are your expectations for 2025? It's a division that's usually run by the Astros. Rangers have a softball lineup. Angels kind of got better a little bit. A's surprise. Mariners still contend. So it's a fun division. Like, you really don't know who's going to do what sometimes. What are your expectations for 2025?
Probably more of the same. I mean, they haven't made any significant moves, right? Like, the team looks pretty much the same. Like, I don't think losing Luis Urias, losing Donovan Solano, Justin Turner, Yimi Garcia, adding Donovan Solano, I can't forget. He's just going to be so good this year. He's just going to
be I didn't even bring him
center,
up.
I'm like, centerpiece, 37-year-old centerpiece, utility, journeyman. I mean, he's just the glue that's going to put this team together. So, I mean, unless they make some drastic moves, the lineup looks pretty much the same, right? So if we get a slight bounce back from Julio, a slight bounce back from Brandy Rosarena, Cal Raleigh maybe doesn't have this massive season, pitching stays pretty much healthy, I think we're probably looking at something similar. It's more of kind of battling for kind of the third place spot, unless kind of luck or something cool happens.
I'm expecting Dylan DePoto to start making some trades and really dice it up here to have some fun and see what he can put together there. But I'm hoping J-Rod has a big, big year and get some of those critics to quiet down. But we'll see. But all right, man, before we head out of here, it's always a pleasure chatting with you. Remind everybody where they can find you and what you got going on, because I kind of highlighted where they can find you, but I know you got a bunch of different things you're working on.
Yeah. Thanks for having me again. You can find me on Twitter X at Corbin_Young21. Right now, pumping out some playoff wide receiver cornerback matchups, if you're into that, for Rotoballer. Doing some off-season baseball stuff at Rotoballer too. And yeah, we kicked off our Facts and Flukes schedule for Baseball HQ kind of a week or two ago. So I kind of was one of the second ones on there. So yeah, you kind of find me sporadically at Baseball HQ or Rotoballer.
Are you going to do the Arsenal report again this year? Or is that still up in the air?
I think that's still up in the air. Yeah. Facts and Flukes kind of one of those places that are things I've kicked off. But yeah, I think I put myself as interested in dabbling there again.
Yeah, because I know Ryan and I mentioned it. That's a fun article, and you, the way you dig into stuff, it's very interesting to see what you find for sure. All right, everybody, again, make sure you follow Corbin on Twitter at Corbin_Young21. He's cranking it out, so all the good content there, and check that out. But until next time, this was Benched with Bubba, episode 724, your 2025 Mariners preview. Catch you all next time.